We're going to be looking at our second part in our study on unseen realities, looking at the doctrine of hell and the great separation. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read from verses 31 down to 46. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and we see that in earlier chapters, in chapter 24, verse 3, it says that Jesus sat down on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the signs of your coming at the end of the age?" And Jesus, over these two chapters, gives instructions about what's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes again. And when we get to Matthew 25, verse 31, we find that Jesus is speaking about his judgment and what's going to happen. And we read about this great separation. So let's read God's word. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you and sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? I did not minister to you.' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." As we're looking at the unseen realities, we're looking at this spiritual realm that is clear in the scriptures, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, where we consider how God is acting in the physical world. And the one person who does speak most about hell is actually Jesus Christ himself. He speaks about hell and Hades and the grave. Why? Because he is from the unseen realities. He is from God's glory. He's come into our world. He dwelt amongst us. And he sees both the spiritual realm and the physical realm together. And that's why he has so much to say. Now, last week we were looking at hell being a place of God's disfavor. That God is not absent from hell, but what is absent is God's favor and grace and blessings. So those who have rejected God, rejected his word, are those who are rejected by God. God is still present in hell, but they do not actually share his blessings or his favour. And we're going to look at that a bit later as we come to this great separation. In your notes, you'll give some details there about this discourse on the Mount of Olives and how Jesus introduced the disciples to what is going to happen in the future. You see, Jesus never lets us question or doubt or speculate about what's going on. He actually gives us the details. Maybe we want more details, maybe we want more clarity, but he doesn't leave us without knowledge. He gives us the details about what's going to happen when he comes. And when he comes, he won't be coming to bring grace and favour, but he'll be coming to bring judgment. Now, in your notes, we have to think about separate definitions. And there are four words that we need to come across in this text that we need to consider. The word separate, we've read that when Jesus talks about the goats and the sheep being separated. And that actually means to be set apart or excluded or to be cut off. It's not just where, you know, they separate one to the left, one to the right. It's actually these two groups will not actually come together. They'll be excluded from one another. And we see that elsewhere. You know, Jesus speaks about Lazarus and the rich man. And when they die, they are not able to communicate to each other. There's a chasm, a gulf set between them. You've got the word cursed. And that means to be cursed or to wish evil. And it's a description that Jesus gives to those who reject God, reject his word, and reject his people. The word eternal, you've got there on your sheets, is actually a timeless duration. It's everlasting without end. We often think about time, fixed time. But when Jesus speaks about eternity, he is thinking about a no beginning and a no end. It's timeless. And then we think about punishment, because that actually comes up in our text in verse 46. And that actually means chastisement or torment. So when we come to Matthew chapter 25, something about hell that we need to consider and think about is this great separation. When Jesus introduces himself in verse 31, he talks about the Son of Man. Now this is a phrase that Jesus uses to describe himself. And that phrase is actually from Daniel's prophecy, which speaks about Jesus being by the throne as the Son of Man. And Jesus often describes himself in this way. And he talks about the fact that when he comes again, he's not coming again as a baby. He's not coming again in obscurity. He's coming with his angels, and he will sit on the glorious throne. Speaks about his sovereignty, his rule, and his judgment. And then Jesus talks about what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is that he's going to be separating people. Have a look at verse 31 and 32. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You see, when Jesus comes, all nations, all peoples will come before his throne. And there will be this separation. And that separation is done by whom? Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who's going to do it. He is the one who will know, by looking at each one, what's in the hearts of men and women and children. He will see those who love him and those who hate him. Those who have followed him and those who have rejected him. Jesus will see into the hearts of each one of us. And this separation is something which is a theme when we look at the doctrine of hell. Because nowhere do you read that when people die, there is annihilation. We are not annihilated. It's not like someone just flips the switch and that's it. There is nothing more. There is life after death. And also, there is not this second chance. There's not an intermediate state where there is purgatory or this opportunity for someone to get right with God once they have died. No, there is a separation. And that separation will be evident when Jesus Christ comes again. And three things I want to make you aware of about this separation. The justice of God, the rejection by God, and the eternal punishment of God. These are three things that we don't find palatable. We don't like to think of people who are not yet Christians, who are not trusting in Christ, that they are going to face God's justice, rejected by God, and then punished by God. That is something we don't often hear at the pulpit, we don't often hear it in church, and we don't often talk about it amongst non-Christians. But that's clear from what we have in the text. This is what Jesus is saying. So first of all, the justice of God. And what we're saying here is that when Jesus separates people, those who love God with all their heart, soul, mind and strength, and those who have rejected him, there will be justice. This is not an arbitrary thing. This is not something where Jesus says, well, I don't like the look of you, but actually you're quite good. You go to church and you've been to chapel for many, many years, and you come from a Christian home. No, no, no. It's actually based upon the justice of God. That he does everything according to our actions and our behaviours. So when he's talking about the separation, in verse 34, he said to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So he's talking about those who love God, who have followed God's word, and have seek to live uprightly before him, because they are the ones who have been caring for his sheep, for his people. And how do we know that? Have a look at verse 40. The king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Because they asked the question, well, when do we see you hungry, Jesus? When do we see you naked? When do we see you in prison? Jesus said, well, if any one of my brothers, any one of the Christians who love me and is vulnerable, hungry, poor, and you have cared for them, and you have physically helped them, then you have done it for me. And all those who trust in Christ, we are all one in Christ. And there is justice when God rewards those who love each other and love one another. That's why there is the one another commands in the New Testament, where Paul and Peter talk about how we are to care for one another, love one another, carry one another's burdens, pray for one another, because that is part of fellowship, that is a part of our love for one another as we love Christ in us. But also there's justice when, verse 41, Jesus says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. And again, he uses the same analogy. He's speaking about those who have not cared for those who are poor and vulnerable and weak in society who love Jesus Christ. There's a disdain amongst them. There's disdain about those who love Christ. We have nothing to do with them. We're not going to help them. And even there is hatred and rejection and persecution towards those who love Christ. You see, when Jesus separates, there is justice. It's not arbitrary. And Jesus is speaking about those who by their actions have shown what's in their hearts. And they are classified by Jesus as goats. Those who are not his sheep. John talks about how Jesus says, the sheep know my voice and they follow me. Those who trust in Christ will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And they will say, welcome. You are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then we have rejection by God. And this is something which we find hard, that God would reject people who have not followed him and who have believed the lies of the devil and who have sought to live their own life in sin and reject God and reject his word and reject his people. Look at verse 41. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. Three things there. First of all, banishment. Depart from me. That word depart from me is a rejection. It means being banished. It's being sent away. This is not just like clear the room. This is actually being pushed out. This is actually a banishment. and then cursed. And that word cursed, as we saw earlier, means to wish evil, to be cursed. And Jesus is saying that they are cursed, rejected by God, because they have not believed. And then there is punishment. He talks there about an eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, there is punishment prepared. And sometimes we find that hard to reconcile. How can a God who is loving, compassionate, and kind, and gracious, actually willing to punish people? But Jesus says it himself. When they come to me at the final judgment, those who do not love me, do not follow me, who rejected God, rejected his word, rejected his people, Jesus will say, depart from me. You are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels. Those who had fallen from God's grace, those who have rejected God's rule and rejected his word and were living in opposition to God. And then finally, there is eternal punishment. We see that in verse 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal fire. Notice the contrast there. Jesus says that those who have rejected him will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous, that he's talking about the sheep, will go into eternal life. Both eternity. One for punishment, one for life. One going towards hell, the other one going to glory to be with him in heaven. And this is that part of that great separation. It's something which we find strange to reconcile God to, but it's an ongoing. That word eternal punishment in the original language is an ongoing thing. It's not like you are going to be punished once for a crime that you committed. No, this is actually what the theologians would call an ongoing perishing, where the human soul is degraded over a long period of time. Everything that was of value diminishes. One of the things I've been reading is Edward Donnelly in Banner of Truth on Heaven and Hell. And he writes this quote, which I think is very useful to help us understand the eternal punishment of God in hell. It says, Edward Donnelly writes, "In hell, your very personality, the real you, will deteriorate forever. All the dignity that you now have as an image bearer of God will be stripped from you. All your humanity will rot away. All your value will be lost. The New Testament word here is destruction, or the word perishing. It does not mean annihilation, but something which actually perishes over a long period of time. To perish means that you, as a being, will be ever more degraded, more contemptible, more lonely. You will be surrounded by devils and the damned and wicked human beings. They will hate you and you will hate them. Everything good in you will be taken away and everything bad in you will let loose. All your evil passions will burn, increasing and consuming you till you become utterly foul. Such will be your existence. How wretched. Nothing good, nothing worthwhile, a horrible, monotonous dreariness unlivened by a single ray of light as you fester and stew in your own lotusman. This is what will happen to you. Think of the most hopeless, derelict person in the gutter. His existence is paradise compared with the poverty of hell." You see, Edward Donnelly is saying that that word eternal punishment is an ongoing thing where something is perishing, where there is that degradation, where everything that is foul in someone's life then becomes the norm. So the good things, the pleasures, the common grace that God gives us is absent. So they won't be able to hear the beauty of the birdsong in the morning, to look out and see the beautiful creation, the vistas, to see the magnificent sky and sunsets, to enjoy the beauty of music, to enjoy a glass of wine or a good meal, to to enjoy being in fellowship with one another and friendship, all of those things will be stripped away with the perishing and eternal punishment of God. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 about this thing. He says, verse 5, "This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction or perishing, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." You see, Paul resonates with the teaching here from Jesus, that when Jesus does come again on a second time, there will be that great separation. There will be that opportunity lost for those to come under the sound and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they will actually be judged correctly and rightly by the justice of God. There will be the rejection by God himself. They will be cursed. And then there will be that ongoing degradation and perishing within hell itself, and that punishment. Do you remember how we were looking at last week, when Jesus illustrated what hell would be like with the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus is enjoying being in the presence of God's saints, people like Abraham. And the rich man was in torment, anguish and torment. Three words that are used in that description. Why? Because he could see that everything bad that was in his life was all coming to fruition. That there was no let up. That all he saw around him was torment and anguish. And that is a foretaste of the eternal destruction, the ruin, with the absence of God's grace and mercy, where sin is running rampant, where the devil holds reign and his dominions, where everything of value being created in God's image has been stripped away from that person. And that's why when we consider this doctrine of hell, this is not just a theology. This is not just us saying, well, okay, we need to understand heaven and hell and try and understand what the Bible teaches about hell. But try and think about the awful consequences of those who reject Christ, those who reject his word, those who reject the offer of salvation. Because one day there will be a final judgment. And those that we love and care for will have to go and answer before the King of Kings. And there will be that separation. And those that we love in our families and our friends and our work colleagues who do not know Christ, there will be a separation. And there is a fixed chasm, a gulf between heaven and hell. And there is no way of escaping from one to the other. We can't rescue anybody beyond the grave. But what we can do is warn people, is share the gospel with others, and look for opportunities where we can speak words of truth into people. That's one application. The second application is to be encouraged. Because Jesus, when he talks about the separation, verse 34 of Matthew 25, talks about this recommendation, this reward for those who trust in him. He will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." There are mansions, rooms prepared for us, for those who persevere, who trust in Christ. On that day, we'll be blessed. Why? Because a kingdom awaits us. Not a kingdom of this world, but a kingdom where Christ rules, where God is in his ascendancy, and where we may enjoy his glory. With no more pain, no more tears, no more death, nobody else lying to us, stealing, no one trying to scam us out of our money, no one trying to do us harm or abuse us, no one actually committing crimes against us, where you can walk free down the streets, knowing you're in the presence of God with his people, enjoying his new creation, and we can worship him with him forever and ever. Amen.